On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, Mark Revel and Dave Cree talk about the plight of Claypole Cricket Club and our friendship won the day. Dave's back with all the not-fast news, and I have the first of our Wednesday whinges. And it's all about the New Year's Honours list. But first of all, let's look back at what sport did happen over the festive season. And Chad Sugden started it all off on Friday the 22nd of December. Seems an awful long time ago, with a fourth round TKO victory at Walsall. All reports tell us the Suggies gym star was in commanding form as he progressed up the rankings. Nettie Stevens and her first-time guide Breeze Rowlands came home first at the Newark Athletic Club's Boxing Day handicaps. There was also a three-lap course record set by the in-form Chloe Hubbard. A total of 48 runners went to Sconce Park and one intrepid reporter. A large crowd were entertained at Kelham Road for the Boxing Day President's Match. And one intrepid reporter. Running rugby was the order of the day. The final score 47-36 to the first team. And it did them the world of good, as they beat Dronfield in the league the following week. The New Year's Day park run attracted a record 480 runners to Sconce Park. 150 up on the previous best. First home with Lincoln Wellington runner Will Bloom, while the first local Newark Athletic Club's Lee Braithwaite. No less than 205 of the Newark runners had already done the Belton Park run earlier on in the day. See, those keen that a run between Belton and Newark, weren't they? You see, it's only half-hearted. Newark Flow Serve Reserves were redirected to a match with league leaders Ruddington at 24 hours notice. That is rubbish, it really is. But they rose to the occasion and not only beat Ruddington, they beat the league bigwigs as well for a seventh consecutive victory. Tyler Martin scoring a brace and a perfect Christmas time for Grantham Town with maximum points. Boxing Day saw a last-minute winner at Gainsborough and New Year's Day a 2-1 victory at the Mears over Basford United. And what's going to interest Tony more than anything? The attendance was 270, and remember, they're step four. You're not that far away, Mr. Smith. So, a quick look back before we put Christmas and New Year to bed completely. Chad, convincing win on the before Christmas, and the next time he's out is at the Harvey Adams Stadium in March. And middle brother is on the same card.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see them both on the same bill there. Especially if they both win.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant.
They've both chosen boxing over kickboxing. I have to admit, I'm disappointed that Regis has gone down that line. You will say the opposite because you favour boxing than kickboxing.
Not if we have kickboxers in, no. And I would never question kickboxing if we had any kickboxing people in, obviously. But yeah, it's rubbish when they're not in.
Anyway, that's where he's going. And you can't knock him because he's a professional. And at the end of the day, that's where the money's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's kickboxing is a great show. Absolute great show. But boxing is something that goes back to the dawn of time. It's just, it is a great pugilistic battle, a great battle for honours. It's wonderful.
Is that another of these words that we started to use? You remembered that one. It's a bit like parity, is it?
Not this, but boxing is something I do have a propensity for, yeah. Mr. Wildman, who knows?
I'm the professional journalist, you know. There we go. Nettie Stevens, our wonderful Nettie. it was 2017, wasn't it, when she ran the London Marathon. Yeah. We built up with her to it, and she got an injury at about 8 miles in, and took her 8.5 hours to walk the course when, yeah, you know, really, she shouldn't have even done that. She's back at the London Marathon this year.
She got
it's a bit like, it's a bit like Stacey Atkins. There's something to be settled.
No, it's if you get injured at 8 miles and you're blind as well and you still finish the London Marathon, then to put some back into your argument later, how come some people get knighthoods for less?
Yes, but that one is is to come, as they say. And finally, and I'm not talking about Flo Servant and Selston, we've heard all about that one, but how can a league say to you on a Friday, sorry, you're not going there, you're going to the league leaders instead to play? That is rubbish.
Yeah, it's just shocking organisation, but it doesn't stop there, because on the way to the ground, Alex Hemphill, who was fitting in for Lewis Cawthorn, who was unavailable for the game, in goal, his car broke down on the way to the game. So they had to go to the league leaders without a goalkeeper, and of all people, Ed Munton stood in. The prolific Ed Munton, who can't stop scoring goals this season, took the gloves and kept a clean sheet at the league leaders.
I mean, I was, you know me, I'm a neutral in all this.
Oh, yeah.
Where Ruddington's concerned, I don't care who beats him. But well done, Flow Serve Reserves, and not very well done, not Senior League. You can't just change fixtures around like that.
And then they went away last Saturday and made it 8 wins out of 8.
Yes, we did that on Monday, if you was awake.
It's just that they are in tremendous form.
Dear.
44 goals and 6 concessions.
Not that many weeks ago, you wanted to sack the management team because they wasn't winning. Now they're in tremendous form.
No.
What a difference a week makes. Right, tonight's special guest, and being it's the beginning of January, I thought we should talk cricket, as we do. Mark Revel and Dave Cree are joining us. Mark is Claypole, Dave is K-Thorpe, so we welcome both of them to Radio Newark.
Thank you very much.
There is a story to tell, of which we're going to do a little bit.
There's a better story to tell.
My name's Matthew.
Exactly.
my brother's Mark. sorry to break the news to you.
Shall we start again?
It says Mark in my script. You're Mark for the next hour.
Yeah, it's all right. You and my father used to do that.
It says Mark in my script.
It's fine. I've been called worse.
Oh, yeah.
Mick will after this.
I get names wrong every week. Don't you worry about that. I always get names wrong. Right, we'll start with Dave.
That solves that problem
straight away.
Well, everybody knows me better as Golf 3 Tango Bravo Kilo, my amateur radio call sign, but you can call me Dave. That's
going to be a long time. Can you just ring Tyler Bird, see if he can call? We had a 13-year-old last night. It was absolutely wonderful fisherman. He'd been sea fishing in Cornwall. Oh, I love Cornwall, Tyler. Where did you go sea fishing? Answer, in the sea.
Oh.
Okay. Right. It's going to be a long year. Before we start on the Claypole K-Thorpe story, one of the things that's always intrigued me, there's two K-Thorpes that both play cricket and both probably, as the crow flies, within 20 miles of each other. So as the president of K-Thorpe Cricket Club, Dave, or Golf Tango Bravo Echo 4, does it present a problem?
It doesn't to us, but it does to some of the opposition teams. In the last year, we had at least two teams come to play at the wrong ground. One for a midweek fixture found me on the ground preparing a wicket. We don't play midweek senior cricket. But more impressively, some years ago, Trevor Bailey turned up with a team of celebrities on a Sunday morning expecting to play a charity match against K-Thorpe, and of course he should have been in Nottinghamshire. So I guess they were a bit late starting their game.
It's not actually the easiest of route between K-Thorpe
it's
and
not.
K-Thorpe,
no,
either, is it?
You said 20 miles, but it probably takes an hour.
Exactly. It takes a long way, but you've probably come from one of the villages with the best views. because it's out over the Vale of Newark, really, isn't
it? Yes, we look out over the Trent Valley.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. And somebody who's actually in the Trent Valley is Matt, Mark, Fred, Albert, John. Are we calling you Matt? Are you going to be Matt or Matthew then now?
I'll take Matt tonight.
You're going to take Matt? Yeah. Right. Matt has played cricket at Claypole since he was a wee toddler.
Very wee.
It's always been an interesting wicket to play on. I think you'll admit that.
I don't know what you mean.
No,
all my wickets are up and down. And
Claypole itself, the actual soil at Claypole is sticky.
Yes, yeah, you could say that. It's a good leveller, really, because you have your... I'll take the Evening League as an example. Bordeaux bring their all-stars down, and Beckenham that play there, they end up losing the league to them. So it's always a good way to level the... it helps when we have Chris Dobby playing for us, but, it's hard. But once you get used to it, and if you play on your front foot, you're fine. There is some shooters in there. But it got too bad. It got to a point.
Let's just stay, because I drive over from my work in Grantham, and when I come down that way, you can see the structure of the soil change as you approach Claypole. When you get to Claypole, it looks to me like thick black clay.
Yeah, it says it on the tin. Claypole.
Which is okay, but when the weather becomes extreme, then it's not okay, is it? And there's,
no.
I would suggest there's probably not a lot you can do with it.
It was a fighting fire, if you want to call it that. So the Parish Council planned to put a water supply in, but the summer got too bad. It's a lot of red tape, but by the time it got put in, it was too late. You know, we'd managed to play 5 games in the season, but it was I think it was 60 hours work just to get the wicket and everything else ready. And then we got down there and there's cracks that you could put your hand in. It was more the outfield. You know, we took the decision not to play there anymore as a team when you could literally, most people's foots could fall down the cracks. And even if we tried to move the wicket, we didn't have time to prepare it. So our already sticky wicket was a bit more dangerous, and it wouldn't have been unfair to play for everyone's safety, really. And there's not many teams that halfway through the season would have turned around and said our ground isn't good enough to play on.
I mean, the probably point I'm trying to get at here is, really, I think whatever you had done, the actual ground conditions was going to beat you at Claypole in a red hot summer like it was, because I think you could have pumped any amount of water on it you liked, it would probably just end up sitting on top.
Yeah, it was the passion of the lads, to be honest with you. You know, you had lads like James King, John North, they racked up no end of hours getting down there, just handballing water on just to get it to a playable condition. They talk about the spirit of cricket on the pitch, it's also off the pitch as well. So them kind of lads doing that, Sandy Ireland, he came all the way from Sleaford sometimes to help out. I'd do a 12-hour shift, go down and help out. Lads would, you know, help as much as they can. We had no groundsmen, and it was always fight, like you're against the weather. So we just tried as hard as we can, because end of the day, we're the only team that was left in Claypole. You know, we had 2 football teams and 3 cricket teams, and now Claypole's only got the one, and unfortunately we've moved away.
This again, sport and the local pub can be the lifeblood of a village. Caythorp is very lucky, they've got cricket and they've got football there, but a lot of villages have lost the football teams a long time ago, but they've hung on to the cricket. But now when they start losing the cricket, then the village, there's something about the spirit of the village is going to die if the sports team are not playing under that village name.
Yeah, it's so to try and really keep the team at Claypole, it was never going to happen. If the football team was there, we could have gone down the lines of like youth football, get better funding. But the thing with Claypole at the moment, we've got one of the better football pitches around, but there's no football team there. because the parish council actually went out and got the funding from Sports England to get this really good football pitch, but literally next to it is a minefield of a cricket pitch. So we're looking over at what we could only describe as something like Wembley, and we're playing on the worst Caribbean wicket ever. So in that sense, it was really hard pill to swallow, but I've been working with the parish council, and we went to an ECB meeting yesterday, and unfortunately, you'd think ECB would have a lot of money to...
They have,
but... Exactly. It's grassroots cricket. If it wasn't for the grassroots, your teams like your Claypoles, your K-Forps, your Boldertons, your Collinghams, and he's Boldington and Collingham, they're like rich cousins. You look up at them and you go, oh, I wish we had 10% of what they're coming in. But it's not handouts. It's going to have to be, we get to a point now where we generate our own income through...
What winds me up, and it certainly winds his lordship up here, is that both the Football Association and the ECB will tell you how much they support grassroots, how much they want to put into grassroots. Now, there isn't as much money in the Rugby Football Union, but they do look after their grassroots, and they look after it well. Yet these other two bodies, to a layman's point of view, they don't give a damn about the Claypoles of this world. Let's get a president's opinion of what the ECB do for grassroots cricket.
Well, very little. They send us lots of communications, which usually require us to fill in lots of forms and spend money, which we somehow have to find for ourselves. Over the last few years, we've had one grant from the ECB towards buying covers, but that's all. Last year, we needed a new sight screen. We found that the grants were only available for specific considerations. To get a sight screen, you had to have a team in a recognised under-18 2020 league. Well, we don't have under-18s in our village. They've all gone to university by that age, nor is there such a league in Lincolnshire for them to play in.
Yeah, let's stick a clause in that nobody's got. Yeah.
So that meant no one could apply for a sight screen. However, we have a lot of all-stars, the 5 to 8 year old ECB initiative, and if you ran an all-stars team, you could apply for a grant to go to kitchen improvements, patio, new furniture in the club room, or a barbecue, none of which we needed because we had the ball. But where the relevance was to cricket with those items, I don't know. But
so Matt doesn't stand a chance, does he?
No. You know,
realistically, he doesn't stand a chance. Tony, just before we go for the break, it winds you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just these governing bodies that say they support grassroots. I mean, there's no evidence whatsoever. They'll support people by sending thousands and thousands of press releases or whatever to papers saying, oh, aren't we wonderful? But when you actually want anything off them, there's nothing forthcoming. But I have worked out the confusion earlier in the programme, because obviously when people complain about the wicket, Matt says he's called Mark. So that's where we've missed out there.
You are replaceable, you know. Somebody called Connor. Wednesday night, 7:20, maybe a new year, but it's the routine that we love, and it's not Fast Night, and Dave Farger's got a story of Christmas, New Year and last weekend. There's an awful lot of running to talk about, Dave. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, Mick. There is an awful lot of running.
Leave it to you.
Oh, thanks, Mick. I'll start from last week. So we had 37 club members running over three park runs, PV for Diane Kennett. Now, on last Saturday, we had the Notts AAA Championships, and that was at Woolton Park. I had four members represent us. There was 10K for the men. Stephen White got 48 minutes 22, and Simon Locke 48:24. And there was 8K for the ladies. Kim Ethington Bates 36:03, and Rachel Sheldrake 39:47. On the next Sunday, last Sunday was the first of the four East Midlands cross-country races. Not Fast had 31 members turn up to Bramcote Park, Now, it's one lap for the ladies, which is about 4.5 kilometres, and two laps for the men, which is about 8.8, a little more, 8.9 kilometres. Full results of everyone will be on the website, because there's quite a few to go through. Now, going back to New Year and Christmas, there wasn't too much running done competitive-wise, but there was a special New Year's Day park run held at Newark. And I think there was a record number of something like 420 people running. I think there was some 40 or 50 Knotfast members there as well. So a really good turnout for everyone. And just for those who are thinking of joining running, Knotfast have just started their Joggers and Plodders course. Started last night. We had about 40 members there. So if anyone's last minute wants to come along next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, feel free. It's going to be the first proper running for the Joggers and Plodders course, and that's led by Ernie. So it'll be good to have people turn up.
It's been a fantastic time over the Christmas and New Year period. And I went to the Boxing Day handicaps myself, and you was all joining in the fun there with Newark, and I do love to see when all the clubs join together. And now, of course, cross country season started with such a bang last weekend, and for the next 2 or 3 months, you're all running through fields and rivers and ditches and over stiles and everything.
We are, yeah. The next one's this coming Sunday at Home Pier Point. And I think the one I'm looking forward to, and the one that I think a lot of people are looking forward to, is on the 3rd of February. It's a Colic Woods in Nottingham. So it's one of the hilliest, steepest, muddiest, and demanding courses that I've ever ran. I ran it last year when I just started running with the club, and it was a challenge.
But isn't that what cross country is all about, though?
Exactly, very much so.
I was looking at the Lincolnshire County Championships at the weekend, and those all running through what to me looked like a river.
Yeah, I saw that.
But those all also having great fun. Joggers and Plodders is underway for the new year. Ernie's little baby, so to speak. how many you got doing it?
So we had, I wasn't at club training last night. I've been rather ill, actually, lately, with a bit of a cold. But I think there was about 40 or 50 people that turned up, which is a fantastic turnout. Knotfast itself, we've got about 160 members. So to have a Joggers and Plodders course with 40 to 50 people turn up, that really does bode well for the club.
See, by nature of the fact, that's 40 or 50 new people to turn up.
New runners, yep. It certainly is. So we'll see how many people sticking out for the 10-week course. Usually we see probably 10-15% that don't go through with the end of the course. But usually it's pretty good turnout and people are committed. And with Ernie running it, it's
a laugh a minute. But he gets in there, and that the way that he sort of operates is you don't know it, but you are being pushed along at the same time. But you tend to forget that in the banter.
It's a gentle push,
yes,
but a push nonetheless. Yeah.
So at the end of Joggers and Plodders, then it's what, a park run?
Well, that's a goal. Yeah. So the goal is for people who either haven't run before or don't think they can run, is to join us for a 10-week course. It's mainly to get people from doing nothing to being comfortably able to run a 5 kilometre run, which the best way to test that is a park run down at Scones Park. But what we tend to find is a lot of people, they don't think they can run, but when they join the course, they're naturally good. It's just taking those first steps to join a club, having that confidence to run with other people, that's what you find with these courses. And I know Striders do a very similar course, the Step Into Striders course. It's for people that don't necessarily think they would enjoy running, but want to find a community and other people that would share that same experience. So it's really good. And, I joined Joggers and Plodders last year, and that's the reason I've got into running and the reason I've built up to do a marathon just a couple of weeks ago. So if it wasn't for the Joggers and Plodders course, I would never do that, and I would never be talking to you on the phone now, Mick.
See, novice to correspondent in 12 months. What more can you ask for?
Crazy, isn't it? What will the next 12 months
bring? Exactly. January Radio Newark, end of the year. Well, who knows? Is there anything out there that's anything better? Dave, we'll catch you again next week.
Will do. Thanks.
Bye. Dave Farge there, and joggers and plodders, and I know they're only 1 week on, but if you want to have a go at it, I'm sure they would open you with open arms. Before we get back to our cricketers, what's happening in the wonderful world of sport? Patrick Arrington will captain Europe when they defend the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits in the US 2020. The Irishman was the vice-captain when Europe won the trophy back under the leadership of Thomas Bjorn in France last September. Lee Halfpenny has been ruled out for 3 to 5 weeks and is likely to miss the start of the Six Nations Championship. The Wales halfback has already missed 2 months with concussion after suffering a head blow against Australia in November. And Nottingham Forest have been linked with a January move for the Burnley goalkeeper Tom Heaton. According to the Daily Mail, the Reds have asked about a loan deal for the 32-year-old. It's interesting because Burnley's losing goalkeepers all over the place, from what I understand. But anyway, we will see.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
The other Burnley goalkeeper, of course, Tony, is Joe Hart, who's lost his place at the moment. And apparently Preston have asked if they can take him on loan, going to the biggest club in that area, which will go down very well with Burnley, I would have thought.
I think Forest would be better off going down to our sponsor, Smith Timbers.
Would they do that? Would they do... Come on! You started it last night.
Well, mine was funny.
Right. Okay. Moving swiftly on. We found out that Claypole's ground was struggling with the weather. Claypole was trying their best, but the opposition probably quite like took one look at it and said, no. There was left with two options, I assume. One was to call it a day, or the second one was to see if somebody out there would be nice and be a friend.
Yeah, so at that point, I'd already started making some inquiries, speaking to the captain, and we had a bit of a meeting that we needed to find alternatives. We have a lot of lads that play for Caythorpe on a Sunday, because we always play most of ours on a Saturday. So they've got time available to play on a Sunday. Got in contact with Dave through James King, who gave me his number. And I kind of also got in contact with Fullbeck just to see what was available, because it was getting to the point where we had to give the league plenty of notice. If we came out of that league, we may as well just fold. You know, it's really hard to just... we've worked really hard to get into the league that we're at. And we've really been top three most of the times. So if we fell out of the league, got no grants, it was in the dire straits, really. So I got in contact with Dave, got in contact with Fullbeck, and luckily, the games that we needed to cover, Caythorpe could fill 2/3 of them, and then Fullbeck finished it off. And both clubs were brilliant. You know, it was literally, as it says in the article, it was a friendship moment. You know, we've played against both teams, you know, and they just turned around and opened their club up. Yeah, we paid to play, but to do a wicket, it's not cheap. It's the same as setting up a football pitch. They're not done for free. So we understood that by moving away, it would, you know, probably make no money this year as a club. But
you've still got a club.
Yes, that's the main thing.
And I would suggest if you had said in July that, okay, we're going to call it a season, we can't finish the fixture list, but we will be back next year. The league may well have said, okay, you can come back next year, but you try and find a team for next year.
Exactly. And, you know, the changing facilities are at school. the parish council has really tried hard to help us in that sense. So they're putting some showers back in. Because, you know, we had children's changing rooms and 11 burly guys in there with kit bags, and cricket comes with the huge bags nowadays. So we had one lad at one point getting changed in the hallway. So by putting a shower in now, yeah, it's going to really help us out. But we haven't got any, like, you know, the wicket's unplayable and the outfield is as well. So luckily, K4 have agreed for next year to let Claypole move to use their ground. And, you know, it's allowed a cricket team that's been around for over 100 years to carry on playing, not at Claypole, but to carry on no matter what. And we can work to get the wicket, because we have been told by a Lincolnshire groundsman that we can get the outfield and the wicket sorted out, but it's not cheap and it's a lot of money. So that's why I wanted to say thank you to Dave to allow us to at least have the opportunity to carry on playing and to raise that money to get the wicket and the outfield sorted out.
So let's have a chat to Dave. Then I'll come back, because Claypole is now getting a very big village, and if it can't sustain football and cricket, then the rest of the villages out there have got a problem. They really have. But we'll come back to that one, Matt, in a couple of minutes. When you got the phone call then, Dave, obviously your first thoughts in a long, hot summer is pitch preservation yourself. How long and hard did you have to think about it before, yes, the financial benefits are good?
Fortunately, we didn't have to think about it for very long, because when Matt asked us, junior cricket season had just ended. We have a lot of junior teams, all age groups, and that really puts a strain on the square. But once the school cricket season finishes at the end of July, we're then down to just sort of one match a fortnight. So even with the hot summer, we could accommodate a second team. For quite a few years, up until 2 years ago, RAF Coningsby Cricket Club played at our ground on a Wednesday. So we were accustomed to having two adult teams playing on the ground. And so I was quite confident that we could handle it, the extra wear. And we did without any real problem. Hate to think how many thousands of litres of water I sprayed on the square during the 8 weeks of drought. But the water meter, I don't think they know where it is. So.
That's all right.
That's
not a problem. You're on top of a hill. It will always go.
Yes.
Yeah. So really it was a benefit to you as well, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And I think it's very important to keep all the village cricket clubs alive. We, as I say, have a lot of juniors. We produce effectively one team's worth of youngsters every year moving through the system. Then there has to be somewhere for them to go and play as adults, so it's important to keep all the local teams going. And as you rightly said, it's very much the heart of the village, the sports field, both, well, all sports. And we have really concentrated in Caythorpe in developing junior sports clubs. So we have a lot of junior footballers in the winter, the cricketers in the summer. And it brings lots of adults down to the field after junior cricket practice on a Friday night. Every week we have a barbecue, and lots of villagers come down for that. And apart from the financial benefit to us from doing that, it's a focal point of the community. And I think that's important in villages these days.
And Caythorpe is now well known, especially on the football junior football circuit, as having a fantastic setup there, and the cricket. See, we tend to follow the Notts side of it,
of course,
from here with Collingham, Balderton, and Newark and Farndon. So we look at the Notts side of it more than the Lincolnshire side. We'll have to keep an eye on Caythorpe next year and Claypole. I can see that, but even the South Notts Cricket League, as they call themselves now, they've contracted down. They've gone from, I think they're in Division K and L now, and it used to be R and S at one stage. So they've lost an awful lot of teams, even though it does seem to have levelled now. What's it like on your side of the county boundary then?
Right, well, in our Lincolnshire District League, it's gone down two divisions in the last 7 or 8 years, with teams dropping out. And it's the same in junior cricket. Clubs that for years have run junior teams have gradually dropped out, so we're getting fewer and fewer junior fixtures each season. So, you know, it's a real struggle to keep going. In some ways, that benefits us, because the children especially come from a huge radius, from as far as Claypole and Sleaford and Navenby, and even from Grantham to come to our ground. But that is sad in a way, because the scores of villagers in that area have no longer got a cricket club. And so it's a fight to keep it going, really.
The theme of the night, Tony, is the importance to sport and the village ball of a village. Because if you take those out of the village, you're ripping the heart out of the village. It's just somewhere to go to sleep at night time.
Yeah, and I've actually participated in sporting occasions in both villages, and they're smashing places to go visit. The people are lovely, and they love the sport. I know Caythorpe through football, from going there with RHP Saturday side, and I know Claypole, having graced the turf myself as a Ransomware Miles cricketer, although I was left very, very close to the electric railway line for most of the game, I seem to remember.
I mean, Claypole is one of the places I used to love going footballing, mainly because I could sit and watch the trains for an hour.
But Langscott's went on Friday.
Yeah, this Friday?
Yes.
Is it? Right.
11:50.
Oh, right, make a note of that.
Totally up to date, Jen, on radio.
Yeah. Chandler's bosses be aware.
Yeah, exactly. But it is so important. So, Matt, you're not playing next year in Claypole, but Claypole will still have a name of a cricket club. But the base has gone to Caythorpe. So, he's playing devil's advocate. Is the natural progression that you become eventually, you become Caythorpe? Or is the end of the day aim to get sport back into what I said earlier on is now one of the biggest villages in the Newark, you know, you take Farndon and Bolton, forget them, but if you put some countryside out there, then Claypole has grown massively. But the sporting facilities inside of Claypole doesn't seem to have kept up.
No, and that's a bit of a sad story in some sense, because the football team, I liked going down and watching them. I lived quite close to them, and I was really sad when they actually folded, because the lads are great. You know, a strong football team usually meant a strong cricket team, because during the when they're playing, there's always cricketers that's playing as well, so we could have a chat with them and say, you know, who do you fancy playing for next year? The answer to your question, are we going to merge with Caythorpe, is a definite no. To the fact of the matter is, if we have to do that, my job has been, you know, because I'm passionate about getting Claypole back to Claypole. I've had meetings with ECB. I understand that it's not going to be cheap, but there is a ways of doing it. And if there's ways of doing it, I don't see why we as Claypole can't take a break away and use the break as a time to raise funds, raise awareness, like coming on tonight, to say to local people, we want to play in Claypole. It's, yes, fair enough, it's 17 guys running around, you know, 17 guys from Claypole, you know, a couple of lads sat on the side, 11 guys on the pitch, all running around in white outfits and that. But when we did, we started a tuck shop, that went really well. We did, you know, we had things in place for next year. We had quick cricket lined up. It's just that the summer killed us, and how I could see it is we've got to be looking at like Phoenix from a fire. Use the time away as a positive. There is mentioned about, you know, you're asking, you know, Caythorpe facilities are outstanding in comparison, and we would be asking the lads.
They're very rich in Lincolnshire, you know.
Yeah, it's good Guinness as well, though. Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a really good Guinness.
That's
there.
Why you used to go.
Yeah. I'm not saying there's not a good Guinness in the Bells. Martin has been a very good benefactor to the to the club. He's done everything.
You thought you better added that bit,
didn't you? Yeah, because I'll be going back there soon. But no, he paid for sight screens for last year. And unfortunately, because the wood's waiting to be put back on. But what the lad that's doing it's like, what's the point of me doing it if it's just going to sit there for a while?
What about the youngsters? Because as Dave will say, the only way to get the ECB remotely interested in what you're doing is you can't... They're not interested in one team clubs. They're not interested in football in one team clubs. If you haven't got half a dozen junior sides, a girls' side, a veterans' side, they're not bothered about you anymore. Now this is your chance, I suppose, to look at everything.
Yeah, so it's an opportunity. So we're got to use it as a club to start from afresh. I've got people lined up. I've done a lot of hard work in my own time. My wife will let you know about that. You know, I said to her, I'm going on Radio Newark. She went, as long as it doesn't affect our home life. I went, no, not forever, just for one night. And she just...
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
Tony, she makes you.
Yeah. But it's end of the day, we've got to start fresh. And kids, and even walking cricket. You know, a friend of mine went to walking cricket at the new leisure centre and said he loved it. Now, he can't play cricket anymore because his knees are gone. But walking cricket, it gives an opportunity to an ageing population to play the game they still love. So when I went to the parish council, I said, I'm not looking just at junior cricket. I'm looking at senior citizen cricket as well. Because if you've got a pitch, you can do both. And for the Claypole Cricket Club that I want to see, and I know a lot of other people in the village want to see, is a thriving junior as well as a senior team.
Do you need a full... If he starts with juniors, do you need a full size pitch, or can they work with what they've got at Claypole to get a junior section up and running?
I think they'll probably struggle because of the dangerous nature of the cracks in the ground. They're probably even more dangerous for children to play on. So that probably won't be able to happen until
Can they use it though? I'm just clutching at straws. Can you use it almost as cricket nets for juniors and then go on somewhere else to play the get just because if you get junior cricket started in Claypole, if you get the kids involved, surely it will then blossom.
So to go back, what they
there's got to be some very rich dads in Claypole.
Yeah, we had an open day for the new facilities that's there. They've got brilliant park facilities now in Claypole. The parish council spent a lot of time and money in that. Before everyone thinking, oh, the parish council spent the money in the wrong place. They spent that money when the football team was thriving. You know, it takes ages for things to get through in parish councils and councils and that. So that's what I have learned just lately. This is why when we do come back to Claypole, it's going to have to be with help from people of Claypole.
It's got to be. People of Claypole have got to want to do it, and it's a big enough village. Come on, guys, get out
well,
there.
We've had such a great response as well. This year, for the second year running, last year in 2018, we did a thing called a membership. So we sold a membership to people of the village and we gave them a baseball cap for the first year. So the amount of green caps that was going around Claypole was really impressive. But as a club, we didn't really make anything on the first year. Don't worry, people of Claypole, we're coming for the money for the second year. But that's the only way I can see the club thriving, getting everyone involved. And to go to K4 is a good move to build a better Claypole Cricket Club.
Excellent. Right, we're going to talk about the future in a couple of minutes, but it's the first of our Wednesday whinges coming up. And funnily enough, it's about cricket. Who scripts this show? We're known for our Newark as a pair of grumpy old men, so we may as well have a Wednesday whinge. So that's what we're going to do, and the first one tonight is going to be about cricket. So let's have some music to accompany it.
Timeless classic.
That's what we are, Tony. Timeless classics. Right, the first of the Wednesday whinges. And it's the New Year's Honours List, and it's my turn to go first. Alistair Cook, because I write it. Alistair Cook becomes Sir Alistair. I cannot understand why. I can understand Sir Gary Sobers, the best cricketer ever. I can just about understand Sir Donald Bradman, even though he's Australian. Vivian Richards, Sir Vivian Richards? Yeah, I'll go with that one. Sir Ian Botham? I'll go with that one if you include his charity work. I'll go there. But there's others out there, isn't there? There's Brian Lara. That he could be argued to be the best batsman the world's ever known. Sachin Tendulkar, you can argue the same argument, can't you? Is he the best batsman the world's ever known? You can even bring Shane Warne into it. And you should bring Geoffrey Boycott into it, who's not got a knighthood because he's got a mind of his own. And he says it, but that's the only reason. But on sheer ability, 100-100s for England? Come on, why hasn't he got a knighthood? And let's just go off cricket for a moment. Harry Kane, MBE. He got an MBE because he got the golden boot at the World Cup. He scored 6 goals. 3 of them was against a pub team, for God's sake. That gets you an MBE in this world. Sorry, it doesn't work. And I'm still bitter it was never Sir Brian Clough. Right, we're going to go round the room. Am I right? As much as Alice Cook is a good cricketer, is a one-pace cricketer, is a one-pace captain. When he had to go and find something different to do, he couldn't do it. I'm not knocking him because he's a nice chap. He's got a farm in Essex and he smiles when he should smile. I haven't got a problem with that. But you're not telling me he's better than Geoffrey, Brian Lara, Sachin Tendulkar and Shane Warne, because he isn't. Right, Mr. Smith.
I can't believe this radio show slags off choir boys. I mean, that's disgraceful. No, I just think that in the Queen's Honours List, there is a lot dished out for nothing. And, you know, I mean, there are far greater contributions to the world than is recognised in the New Year's Honours List. Whatever sport you talk about, but Sir Alistair Cook, I'm with you. Why the hell?
The president of K-Fort Cricket Club.
Why not Richard Hadley or Clive Rice?
Exactly.
Or local heroes to us.
Yes, two names,
but,
most
but
definitely.
But if you're really going to knock all the cricketers, what about all the politicians who get them for doing nothing at all?
Even Alistair Cook's done more than some of the politicians.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what OBE actually stands for, but we can't say that before 9 o'clock.
efforts, yes.
So should he have been knighted?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Are you an Alistair Cook fan? Well, I'm not knocking his cricket ability.
So I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say that he's deserving of it. Don't forget, he actually went to India and won there, and then went to Australia and won there. In a time when probably England cricket wasn't at its greatest. Yes, he's a one-pace cricketer, but how many runs more than Geoffrey Boycott has he got? Quiet in the room now at the moment.
He didn't have to face the West Indies when they was in the pomp.
No, but he did face Johnson, Starch, Cummins, you know, and they're still pretty quick. I just think, you know, when he was put under a lot of pressure just before the Pakistan test in 2010, he went out and hit a double 100. His mentality is different. I'm saying he deserves an honour.
Okay, 50% of the people on our Twitter vote agree with you. 20% say it should have been Brian Lara, and 30% said it should have been Sachin Tendulkar. But the one thing that Tony and I are renowned in sport is our fairness and our gamesmanship. You've lost 3-1. Anyway, that's the first of our Wednesday whinges. Next week it's Tony Smith's turn, so...
And can I just say that Geoff Boycott, when he scored his 100th 100...
I was there and I should have been again, at school that day and I had a four-hour detention.
It cost me 4 hours of detention.
I've heard it 100 times. Matt, let's get serious again in the last 5 minutes of this show. We know what we hope the future of Claypole is. We're going to get a bunch of youngsters. They're going to get together. You're going to have another couple of seasons probably at Caythorpe and then get that pitch right. In your heart of hearts, where's this all going?
A lot of hard work. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take a lot of hard work from a lot of people from the village. We used to have a thing called a yacht club. I spoke to many members of the previous yacht club. I think something that brings the skills of very skilled people, that's businessmen and everything else together to support the community is one of the only ways to come forward. And I go in a pub on a Friday night and I see a lot a lot of clever men and women that have got skills that can help Claypole Village become a sporting community again. And I hope at some point, once we get settled at Caythorpe, that with the help of the parish council, that we can go back and say to these educated people, these amazing people that they live in the village, because, you know, my family's been there for many years, that they will basically come and help and bring back sport to Claypole.
Tony.
It's interesting there that Matt should bring up the Claypole Yacht Club, because I spent many a happy bank holiday experiencing the tremendous fun on the river stream whichever phrase is correct. But that it's not like you're going to a village where there's no community spirit. Those days showed what fantastic community spirit there is in Claypole, and it just takes an enthusiast like yourself to get everybody together, and the future is golden, because you've already got the basic essentials there, as you say, on a Friday night. You get them back and you've cracked it.
Okay, Mr. President, your question then. That's Matt about in the next couple of years. Where do you see local village cricket in 10 years' time?
That is a difficult one. I hope that it'll be flourishing. We're certainly doing our bit with all the youngsters. And in fact, our committee's aim is to get back to a position where we have two adult teams. One would play on a Saturday, but I can't see that happening in the next couple of years, but we are getting closer. But it's forever becoming a bigger struggle. It costs more and more each year to maintain the ground. Ancillary expenses go up every year, insurance and obviously the maintenance costs, even simple things like fuel for rollers and mowers and things, and forever increasing. So every year you're really swimming against the tide, but we've just got to succeed, or else there'll be no sport in the future.
And that, at the end of the day, is the ultimate worry, isn't it? That you're battling to keep these sports,
to keep the children off villages. Their iPads, yes. Out in the fresh air,
yeah,
playing in teams.
Matt, we don't envy the task that you've set yourself. Claypole should have a football team. It should have a cricket team, and it's probably going to take somebody like yourself who's going to knock on doors, bang on the door at the village council and make people wake up, because if not, I drive through Claypole in the morning going to work and you see all the cars coming out of it. It is a dormitory. It could turn into a dormitory village, and it shouldn't, because as Tony says, it's not that long ago since there was one heck of a spirit in Claypole, and I'm sure that spirit is still there somewhere. Let's have the kids playing sport in Claypole and put Claypole back on the map. If anybody's listening to this and wants to contact you to talk to you about all that we spoke tonight, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can do it for... We've got many different forms of social media. We've got a Facebook page. We've got Twitter and Instagram. And hopefully, just to get a bit more of a different look and show how the team is, we're going to be launching a YouTube channel just to get the actual... to show the team spirit that we've got and to get everyone involved in Claypole cricket again, because if Claypole cricket's strong, the football team will follow. So,
and if Claypole cricket folds,
we're in a bad place in the world.
You can at least stand up and say, I did my best. And what I want to do, Matt, is stick with you on this one. I want you to keep telling us what the progress is so we can keep going on, and we'll have the village council in. We'll have everybody in the studio because we want sport back in Claypole, and everybody can have the say, but the important thing is to get it back there. Mr. President at Caythorpe, thank you for what you've done, because you've kept a cricket club alive. That's the first thing that you've done, and you've got a lovely little setup there. It is. It's charming.
You never know what the future will bring. It could happen to us at some time in the future that we're looking for assistance.
And hopefully somebody would help us out for you.
Because we're also more than 100 years old, and that's a lot of responsibility to keep it going.
Chaps, thanks for coming in. Let's get a bit closer to the cricket season. We'll have you both back in again, and we'll do a bit of a preview of the season when it starts. Tomorrow night, we change into football. We change into British Rail Football Club with George Good and Jock Malarkey. it promises to be fun as we go to do what Tony likes doing best, and that's reminiscing about the olden days. Coming up now, the wonderful, the one and only.